So a few months ago, back when it was still pretty wintry, cold out, I began taking short breaks in the middle of the day a couple times a week to go for a run, short run. After 2 years of working at home with COVID, where my physical activity was limited to climbing up and down the stairs a few times a day, I was really starting to feel the effects of being out of shape. As you know, many of you know that I love to ride my bike. I'm a bicycle commuter, and when I'm working in an office, I try to ride my bike to and from work. It's a great joy, and it also gets me the physical activity that I need. But that has gone out the window, and I was starting to feel the effects this past winter, as I mentioned. On top of that, the amount of stress that I was under at work really began to negatively affect my state of mind. I knew that I needed to get out and move. So it had been many, many years since I had actually done any type of running, but I thought I would start up again just so I could get my lungs and my heart moving and doing things that they should be doing with a little bit of cardio activity. It was not easy going at first, truly, but I didn't quit. This is an example of how I made a change in my life to physically affect my physical heart, make a positive difference. First, I was looking at my need. I was diagnosing what I needed to do, looking at some of the effects that I was feeling and knowing that there was something to do about it. And then, following that, I had to go through the challenging of work of actually taking some action, making a decision, committing, and actually following through. I don't know how many of you have tried running before, but it's really easy to just say, I'm not going to do it today. I don't feel like it. I'm just not going to go. But that is something that that I was working to overcome. Now, of course, this is an example of a physical exercise, but the analogous work on our hearts in a spiritual sense is much the same. We need to be able to diagnose when our hearts need exercise, when we need to actually do something about it, spiritually speaking. Jeremiah wrote that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's from Jeremiah 17:9. It is what I feel a very revealing scripture. As seemingly discouraging as it might sound to hear about our hearts being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that's a real eye-opener. It is tremendously useful to acknowledge that. And brethren, it is our cue when we consider that to take time to honestly consider the state of our hearts as they appear to God. Do we see our hearts in the same way that God sees them? We know that God measures our hearts when he is looking to judge us. Or are we deceiving ourselves? Do we think that we're in good shape, but really, if we were to put ourselves under the test, would we fail? And there's truly one way, one great way to diagnose the state of our hearts, and that is by following the instructions of Jesus Christ and testing ourselves, measuring the outcome of our behavior as it is directed by our hearts. Let's go to Matthew 6, and I'd like to read verses 19 and 21, 19 through 21, rather. There we go, Matthew 6, and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is our treasure in our lives? What is something that means a great deal to us? And what are we doing with that? Our treasure describes things that are so valuable to us that we invest our resources in them. Our time, we invest our emotion, we invest our energy, and of course, we invest our money in those things. Where are we investing our resources? Where is our treasure? How we use our resources here indicates the status of our hearts. It's like getting an EKG is by on our spiritual hearts is by looking at how we invest our resources, looking at what our treasures are and what we are doing with them. If we are not investing what we have into virtuous things, we have some exercise habits that we should develop. Get out and run, so to speak. How we treat our offerings to God demonstrates this spiritual health of our hearts. I'd like to go to Malachi 1 and read verses 7 through 9 to give us a counterexample, an example where we see offerings that are not presented in a way that shows respect and honor to God. These offerings are presented from a very unhealthy spiritual heart. Malachi 1 and verse 7. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. The kinds of offerings and the quality of our offerings need to show our gratitude. We heard from the offertory on the Feast of Trumpets from Frank Bruno last week, comparing the gift of scraps to the gifts of substance. And here we see an example of a gift of scraps. Those scraps are given from an unhealthy heart. By way of contrast, when we give our offerings of substance, those are the ones that please God. Those are the ways of exercising our spiritual hearts. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 8. All right, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. When we make an offering to God from the depths of our heart, with joy, demonstrating the health of our spiritual hearts, it pleases God. On top of that, we acknowledge that God is the one who supports us in everything we need. We may think that giving up our hard-earned money is going to set us back, that it's going to hurt, it's going to prevent us from taking care of ourselves. But the fact is, God takes care of us. He doesn't ask us to give more than we are able. And God is able to give back much more than we can stuff into an envelope anyway. And that way, what we give back to God demonstrates our faith. It shows how much we trust in Him to provide for us. And all of our possessions really are from God anyway. We are only giving back to Him what is already His. I'd like to turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where we can see an example of some of these cheerful givers. I love this example. This happens in the history of Israel when David had begun collecting offerings from his people to build the temple. And here in 1 Chronicles 29:14, we are reading David's words expressing gratitude. Verse 14, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." When all of these people presented their offerings for the temple, they were filled with joy in order to do it. They were happy to have the opportunity. And David expresses this sentiment, declaring the privilege that it was to make an offering to God, to build this tremendous work, giving glory to Him. He accurately states here that we are only able to give back what God has already given us to begin with anyway. It is a blessing to have what we have been given by God. And it pleases Him greatly when our hearts are filled with joy in giving some of that back to Him for His purpose. Where we place our treasure provides clear evidence of the spiritual health of our hearts. Even if we might find that we're a little out of shape, so to speak, the best place to start is by making a decision to commit ourselves and then act upon it. Just as a choice to begin running after being sedentary is uncomfortable at first, it might be uncomfortable also to put our treasure in heaven through our offerings. However, demonstrating our faith and love towards God with a cheerful heart, it will only bring the most favorable results possible.